under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first item on the agenda tonight is a roll call for attendance.
This is Blair. Simon.
Here.
Mendoza.
Here.
This is Irving.
Here.
This is Long.
Here. All directed, present, and accounted for. The first item on the agenda was to be a discussion, let's see, on the Boyle report, but you want to possibly go out of order here, Doug, after we have our public comment.
Mr. Chairman, legal counsel has a meeting tonight at the regular Oceana Team Service District, and they felt that they could talk to you here around 7:30, 8 o'clock to take on any aspects of legal aspects. Especially possibly the property tax exchange at the time.
Okay.
But in the meantime, maybe going to the Boyle report and sewer report, which we can review.
Okay. Any objections from board members? We're still going to have our public comments period. But we're considering the possible change of order and going with, after a public comments period, go with a study session on the Boyle report. Alright, public comment period. Anything that's not on the agenda tonight, feel free to speak at this time. Our public is one guy. Anything on your mind there? Yeah. We're going to discuss a little bit later about the possible expansion of the sewer plant.
I can tell you a bunch of things here. They should have a filtration system there. If Mr. Daring said that it's going to dump all this water into the ground that aren't treated right, you're going to have all the nitrate problems. People down the road are going to have the well water tested. So it's heavily infiltrated with nitrate from the, you know, from the creek nitrate. You guys are the ones that did it because you didn't filter your water out, right? And you have a rice lawsuit going on.
But we have test holes that are closer than those folks you were trying to.
Yeah.
We have test holes that are very near the property. So we have to monitor. Well, I don't know. The last test results, lab results that we got on the water from that regional test hole.
We're in compliance with the using water quality control board and discharge points. They monitor that, we monitor that. Our flow based on Kenny Jenks' report is so minor, the impact on the nitrates in the groundwater basin it would be infinitesimal.
I was just thinking, you know, there's always a possibility of a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Well, somebody making easy money, right?
You know? One thing that the regional board wants everybody to get on a sewer system like ours is where you have septic tanks and that introduces more nitrates into the groundwater. Then our system, we treat it and therefore we don't put as much in. Basically, we change the consistency of the nitrates.
That's
actually
what
any other items? Public?
You have a captive audience.
I'm going through here. What do you gentlemen and ladies think about all the pipes going through here? Isn't that a disaster?
Pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All the water, but not one drop of mud, right?
Not yet.
Okay. I noticed that they found about three or four layers of Highway 101 going up the old Highway 101 going up the Thompson Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Really? The bottom one about 4 feet, 4 or 5 feet down.
Oh, yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah, a lot of history being dug up on.
I guess
they're down probably about 20 feet.
How many years back do you think that goes?
What pipe is that?
The coastal aqueduct is about 20 feet deep going down Thompson, and when they dug through, you know, they scarified the top to get the AC off and went down to some concrete, went through that, went to another layer of AC, went through that, just another layer of concrete.
What was the coastal aqueduct?
Big water pipe.
No, I meant the pipe that came out.
Oh.
They've been digging a whole bunch of
I don't know what that is.
You said they hit some concrete down there?
The old road.
Oh, the old road, yeah. I wonder how old that is.
But it's about 4 feet down.
One segment had an Indian canoe.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of water.
It was in a museum, right?
Okay, that's the culmination of public comment period. And then we're going to go on to item number 3, which is going slightly out of order for Mr. Snyder's benefit, since he didn't hear us earlier. We're going to take item number 3 regarding the study session on the oil report as the first part of that, and the sewer report the second part. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the oil report came out with a number of priorities in their analysis, and basically on their report, they indicated that one of the first priorities was looping the downtown system with a more dependable water supply. Right now, the district has one connection in the downtown area of the Napomo into the freeway, which is just that one 10-inch line going across Napomo Creek, the bridge by the Adobe Plaza. That's the only connection between the two sides. Their report indicated that it should probably be looped on this side and this side, and extension of another 12-inch line up to the tank so that you get actual flow coming on this side to feed the west side. In that report, it indicated that the standpipe, which is located in this area, when you get a heavy demand on this side, most of the flow comes out of the standpipe, and our storage on the east side can't go across the freeway to the west side, mainly because of the one line here and certain demand. So by connecting over another two lines, you get greater hydraulic flow between the two sides. The boiler report recommends that this loop be put in as priority one, but looking at, and then you have priority two is extending the 12-inch line up to the twin tanks. But without that line, the 12-inch line going up there, it's looping, you don't have sufficient capacity. It's better to get reliability, and so it's suggested that the next fiscal year that we budget for tying in Oakland or to Malice Street across here, which gives us a second crossing in the Napomo Creek. It gives us a little more dependability on both sides. And the reason for that, we would have adequate flow from the 10-inch line coming down going to the 10-inch line to go east for the west side. And then when the line is extended up to the tank to 12-inch, then looping the rest of the system, therefore you get greater hydraulic flow across the Napomo Creek. And so it spreads out the cost to a certain extent. Part of the other priorities is we have a number of old lines, steel lines in this area, which would be replaced. And those are the ones that are on the, you see, basic West Dana Street, Price Street, Dana Street, and Priceman. Now, just replacing all the old steel lines, which are, according to people, are held together with the repair plants. And so that would be part of the project. Based on the oil report, they were recommending close to $1 million of improvements by eliminating a lot of this major line going around. It knocked about $500,000 off of it. So we'd be looking at roughly $1 million of the
half a million,
right. And part of that, right now we have a 12-inch line coming across the bridge, and it's tied into a 6-inch line in front of the Chevron service station. And we ought to be maybe extending that 12-inch, maybe another 300 feet of tying it into the 10-inch, so we have additional capacity across the freeway.
You only need one line across the freeway?
Well, we presently have a 10-inch line from Juniper and one division going across the freeway. We presently have two 10-inch lines going across the freeway.
Oh, okay. So the 12-inch line is an extra one?
Yeah, it'd be the third line going across. Which is completed now, but it's tied to 6-inch. And we'd like to just extend along with these other projects.
Is one on division?
Yeah, we have a crossing. A 10-inch crossing the freeway. Yeah, on Division Street. And then one on Juniper. We have a 10-inch line coming down here and goes down Oakland and comes back across. The old system was, the old well. There's an old well down here, which is really the ball well. But the original,
Not
Harry Douglas? No.
What's that?
One lives over.
Mr. Clark.
Hart, yeah, Leonard Hart.
Leonard Hart,
yeah. When he was here, they were using the ball well at that time. They had a 10-inch line coming across here, which is the main feeder into the district system. And as you board, remember, it's kind of the district system kind of meandered around here a bunch of bit in line. In fact, they had a 6-inch line going all the way around here, and Conception comes to this easement through here. And now, as development came, they've been tying together so we get the proper loop into the system.
Do you have any idea where about the farmers are going to get their cut off out of the city water plant?
It's north of here, I'm sure you on this map. It's in the upper Thompson Road.
It's up in the upper area. Thompson Road comes up and it kind of handles over and goes in the underpass to be up in this area.
Is there any?
Yeah. There's a large one up here that's being farmed.
I was talking to a couple of farmers, and evidently that water isn't really good for agriculture.
What they're trying to do, as I understand it, is to take the water to supplement their groundwater, bring it in and recharge their I guess, part basins, like a bathtub with state water, and then in the summer pump it out of those basins. Right now, they pump out on the front of weather or winter, that they had rain, at times they pump those out.
Would there be any advantage for us to trade them? Well, trade them like groundwater for state water. Because state water is treated.
Right.
Which means we can use it straight away where they can't really use it. They can use some of our groundwater.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this could be bucket and an eighth for a bucket of an eighth, or a bucket of water or something like that, because it's worth something probably.
Yeah, it's worth something in the aspect that they're importing water to the basin. So there is a value there.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is for the future, we've got no line that really goes up to where if we ever wanted to do that, we don't have, unless it came around from Thompson.
Yeah, I don't know what the final agreement is with the county flood control district, what restrictions that they may have. When I was there, one of the supervisors said, is this water for Napomo for development? Keep away of Napomo getting water. So the flood control district board directed the supervisor.
Well, I really wasn't looking for it to development. I was just looking for it as a...
Well, their contract for getting that water may have some restrictions.
Yeah.
But, you know, trading one for one, I don't see why that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Napomo Valley Mutual Water Company, which is an agricultural group in the northern. Yeah, up in that area where a seedling propagation place.
Yeah.
So their turnout would be proposed in some place in North Thompson Avenue.
I don't understand it. I mean, they're part of Napomo. They get the state water. Why can't everybody else get it?
They don't have a contract for state water. They just have authorization from the flood control district to install a turnout.
Oh, I see.
And the voters turned it down.
Yeah, I know they turned it down, but
okay, that's
what's
why.
The exception in this case right here?
There's no exception.
There's
some outside the district and Matthew's only and a lot of other things. That's a horse we keep trying to ride.
It's safe water for well water right here. I mean, you know, something doesn't seem right in my opinion right here. I mean, you know, did they pay a special fee to get this safe water or something? Or?
Well, they have to go out and negotiate and buy stuff, water that's contracted for and either wheel it down or buy someone downstream water to take out here. I don't doubt that they'll pay full price for it because they don't have an allocation.
There has to be an excess of state water and failed and capacity in the pipe before they get any. And if the municipal use does not exceed what's available in the capacity of the pipe for that year, then some will be made available to that
surplus.
The surplus for that paper water company. Mm-hmm. So it's an optional arrangement.
Yeah, that's
fine. Okay, we might have redirected you there. We'll see if you can read ground.
the spot where you were.
So the proposed improvements that will probably be coming in the budget next year are probably the second crossing of Macomo Creek, second open to the downtown area, probably finishing off the 12-inch line, and replacing numerous old steel lines in the downtown area. A lot of these steel lines are not off the trees, they're out in front of people's front yards. And so, abandoning those that in place and then tying over it's going to be a very interesting project.
Connecting as you did, one block away from the old mine that's drawn, that's not an alignment that oil identified as the proper location.
No, it's very, I suggest going this way because there's the existing paper subdivision G Street, which might help on the right away acquisition.
Uh-huh.
If you maybe sign over here or right away is adequate, maybe you could go straight across. So the alignment is variable. This is a conceptual.
Okay.
And whether we tie in now or we can get it all the way down the step or the top of the street, no doubt.
What size line goes up to those tanks now?
Right, it depends. And the object is parallel with another 12-inch, so you have a 12-inch and 10-inch line going up there both. And then the boiler report also mentioned that installing another million gallons up here. So there's a possibility of negotiating with the Danish state to expand that new site out or actually acquire a property larger than it presently
is. So unless we install another 12-inch up to those tanks, you can't really utilize the full flow capacity of that complete loop at this time anyway.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt us to do it piecemeal?
Well, the object here is your reliance. Right now, if the bridge goes out, the great flood of Macomo Creek, take the bridge out, and we lost our connection across.
Don't hold your breath.
And this one will probably be buried underneath the creek and below the sour line, so that we can get a flood in the pipe will stay in place. And so it just relies on a backup of having two lines going across. Also increase the hydraulic capability of moving water from the east side to the west side to meet some of the demands here, such as well water and the standby. If you want the standby about 20 feet or something, then maybe some stationary starts losing pressure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he heard that.
East
side to west side.
Did you say that it cost $1 million to complete the loop approximately and $500,000 for what you're proposing?
Yeah, they have about $400,000 for, and second crossing for about $600,000.
Okay.
It's on page 48 of the...
Okay.
I made a separate sheet, which is just the priority of the water system.
Okay.
And then, you know, eventually, as it goes, they have some other recommendations. Most of the other stuff is primary for fire flow and in commercial area, trying to get 3,000 gallons a minute in the commercial area. And eventually, depending on how the area develops, the Black Lake development is underway and everything else, and they'll be extending the line to the edge of their development. This portion will probably be bonded for, and they'll probably physically install the line from Willow Road and Pomeroy, up Pomeroy, and tie it into their system to loop this area, and the rest of it they probably bond for. So that when this design of the road comes in, right now there's some major cuts in there, as much as 12 feet. If the line put in there now, when the road is designed, it would be probably above grade. Some areas may have tremendous fill. And so it would be best to wait until the tie ends up designing the section of the road. Then it can be put in and then tie in eventually to the substation area. Also, there's, you know, the concept of Willow Road extension coming out to the freeway. And another interchange at the freeway. The counties have been debating this and you know, where the X alignment is and how the commercial dump would be put in that area. And really, the only water in this area is probably from the district, and here's why they didn't allow this to be annexed, because it's probably annexed later for services. Unless they create import water in that area, this is a fairly dry area for wells. There's some water up there, but nothing major production. And so if that happens, then the object is up tying in the tunnel station this way, and it's probably along the front road, and then to get another line looking in the whole district.
Okay.
Doug,
the system shows that there would be three interties at Black Lake. There are two wells. Why would there be three interties?
Well, if you intertie down at the lower section where the well is here, and then probably one up here, and then one in the middle.
But there are only two wells.
Well, the wells don't make much difference with intertie. Wells are production. Intertie for your flow through the system. If the wells are strictly production, pumping water.
Uh-huh.
But the intertie is to deliver water. You're trying to get a loop system through your distribution system.
Uh-huh.
And if you get an adequate distribution system, so what they're doing is tying on both ends and then probably one in the middle.
Okay, I see.
This development right here is a 48 parcel, and I had a call yesterday. They may be rejuvenating that development. It's a 48 lot subdivision, basically just east of where Al is. And
is that Charles Pratt?
Yeah, it's Charles Pratt development.
Yeah.
And they seem like they want to start moving on it again, so they said they may, within a year or two, be up and running.
You got a new final map.
Right.
What if we start annexing out past the golf course? How would we?
Construction?
Yeah. Then what do we do? We still tie that into everything we've got? I mean, are we looking at that in the future with what we're doing? Or what?
Yeah. Basically, here's Black Lake Golf Course. The yellow is the district boundary. And the pink spots are basically our district wells right now. And it's this area next to the golf course going to come in. In fact, the inquiry of the gentleman interested about possibly annexing to the district and consuming the well site, that has to go through the process of the board here and the county, the planning department, and LAFCO.
Aren't a bunch of those houses, there's a whole bunch of 1 acre stuff in there, they're all on individual wells?
I think this area is mostly ag, isn't it?
Well, there's a bunch in there that's all like, they all have individual wells.
Well, there's seaweed here, yes. When you get down in this area here, it's the Laguna Negra Mutual Water Company.
Yeah.
And it's I think they have 1 or 2 wells, and it's a regular distribution system. And it's where the Mutual Water Company is very similar, but it's just a number of privately owned. Each individual lot
owns the 2 new golf courses, a couple of golf courses and stuff supposed to go out there.
There's well, you have the Woodland project here, which is a major golf course, and then you have the Cypress Ridge project, which is an 18-hole golf course with 380-something homes. But it's a 380-acre parcel, and they're allowing 1 parcel per acre. And so it's developed, and they're using densities in the golf course.
Because eventually you may wind up with all that.
Well,
that's looking down the road, but depending on what kind of development stuff goes in there, we either got a choice, we're either going to join them or we're going to be fighting them.
Well, this area bumped up to what's called Rural Water Company, which is a small private water company, and they need service from Rural Water Company. The wastewater operations is another thing. And the same thing with the Woodland. I think they've created a mutual water company out here already. It's the wastewater operation is the one that they could probably get certified, but usually the Regional Water Quality Control Board requests someone that has the financial capability to ensure that the wastewater system is operated properly. And when they say financial stable organization, they're usually talking about a public entity, although they don't come out and say it.
See, in a sewer plant facility out in there, we'll definitely recharge our groundwater. Where the one I think we've got out by the freeway.
Both these facilities, I understand, are looking at putting an on-site waste disposal operation and using the effluent for golf course irrigation.
Let's pull it back in a little bit and not get too far down the road on our annexations right now. Let's talk about what we're here to talk about.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying is the Boyle Report looking towards the future as much as if we go that way? I mean, eventually that's going to come.
Not necessarily.
Well, something's going to, we're going to grow to a certain extent. And I just wondered if that type of, if that's being looked at. Or are we going to have to spend a lot of money to do something else down the road?
Well, this is the zoning of this area probably wouldn't support urban services.
Okay.
The scope of the study is the district.
Yes. Basically, the scope of the study, he has some parameters, and some of the boundaries are kind of very. In the sewer area, they looked at this area here, and in the water service area, I noticed in this boundaries, they went out from this area, which they probably should have, they probably touched closest. But to use a broad concept, you know, on a 20-year plan period, and saying, okay, what is the potential of the district servicing in this area? And maybe 20 years, since we've got a pipeline along here, a pipeline along here, this area, I don't know, you need some general plan changes and everything else. But in 20 years, if the supplemental order can come in here and if the philosophy of the political realm changes. But they looked at the broad concept, they go, okay, and they look kind of keen to serve it, say, okay, this is your full aspect, you know, that you can take in, that's the biggest picture, but then you can always shrink down from there. It's easy to do that than trying to stand up.
That's fine from a design standpoint, but what I'm afraid of is that we're implying the people out there that we're ready to annex them.
No.
Because a lot of things have, in my estimation anyway, from a resource standpoint, have to be addressed before we go annex some property.
That's right. That's right. And this is just because they paused already in place.
See, this has specific amounts. So that must kind of be limited to a certain area. And if you're talking $1 million, you can't be thinking the whole thing all that they can land it.
Well, no, but what we're looking at right now is this is what's benefiting district. Priority one are potentially existing. Priority one and priority two are benefiting existing. And when you get up to priority three or four or something, then that's a different thing. But existing priorities are primaries that's benefiting the district on.
See, it seems to me that asset research should be focused on and not yet sidetracked into this constant consideration of land acquisition, because unless it's a certainty to happen, it shouldn't be.
I think that was just a question as to what they were considering.
Yeah.
Because in the long run, you really do have to look at the whole situation for 20 years, 40 years. You have to know, you have to have a direction. Yeah, we're not going to be designing systems and paying for lines now or something like that. But
good.
That was just a basic question as to, you know, what they consider.
Yeah, most of the type of thing comes in, it would be developer driven. Or the developer putting in a bunch of new improvements. Yeah, I think the primary one, years going down the peak feature, I think maybe 5 or 10 years is the rural extension and possible commercial development at that interstate. The county, I understand, has been talking quite a bit about that. They've had some hearings.
Okay, but even if it's developer driven, you know, they want to be annexed, you know, big project, you know, say 40 acres or say 380 acres, woodlands or something. You know, they can't just, at this point, I don't see it behooves us a whole lot to annex these big blocks and then take to the well site when we've got an overdrive. We have a fundamental problem with a lack of a resource. I know we can mine for a certain amount of time, but we got to at least have a darn good plan in place before we start doing that. Because this is not 20-year future thought. These people are talking about annexing now. Pratt, Woodland.
Well, Pratt's already in the district.
A lot of this, you know, the Woodland project.
The Woodland project is a unique aspect. They have developed a mutual water company. They've built four wells out there, and all of them are exclusive, 1,000 gallons a minute, and they have overlying rights. So there's the water right easy.
See, the thing is with Woodland, it's the same thing with Blacklake. Blacklake went ahead and developed, and eventually we came in and we're taking over Blacklake. And what I'm just saying is, down the road, we may take over one of these other ones down the road, too. I'm not saying we will now if we don't want to play the game. These people have the money and the resources to do it themselves. But there's no question they do. And you get enough money behind them, they're going to do it. But all I'm saying is if we get asked to go in there later, I just wanted to make sure that our facilities might be in place where we, you know, would do that. If we could change something now rather than duplicating services down the road, that's the only thing I'm saying. I know I put in my own little systems and put them in wrong the first time and have to go back and spend a lot of money straightening out the second
one. That's fine, but we got a substantial increase in cost baseness on a smaller scope.
I understand that. More primary things going to be over here.
So I don't see, you know, talking too far in the future at this point.
Well, far. Here again, talking to Perry Locke, our consultant doing the rate study and financial plan, he's aware of this and depending on the cost, et cetera, he will develop a program for funding all these improvements. He has a copy of this revised, and when, you know, the year 2000, 2005, 10, he's developing a financial program to meet the district needs. And, you know, that'll be probably coming in the next 30, 60 years. So, and of course, and, you know, part of this whole concept, as Boyle indicated, is that based on the demands of the district, an additional well site for production capability is needed in the priority one basis. And so, looking at that, the westerly area of the basin is the most productive water. You get up towards the freeway and some station, it's not the most productive water. You get out east or west of here and productive water. Our big well right now is Rico well, pumps about 800 gallons a minute. Our second well is the Via Concha. Bevington well is around 450. The two Blackwood Lake wells, one's about 400 and the other's about 350. And you get up from here, the O'Neill well is maybe 100 and a quarter. Or the Olympic is about the same. There's two pot wells, the Dana 1 and Dana 2 were drilled, and their test pump, I think, around 200 gallons a minute, but the projections are they produce someplace around 150, 104, 150 gallons per minute each well. The Moore site out here, which is an area which is 240-acre parcels out here, one for Moore and another one owned by two other individuals. A test hole was drilled out there, and they anticipate that would produce a minimum of 500 gallons a minute, probably similar to the Black Lake or the Rico well. the district has installed a large diameter pipe on Via Concha, enough to meet up a mile. There's a thought in the preliminary plans of extending it down Don Road to the Rico well, and therefore you can tie in here. If you tie these two wells in with that 10-inch line, there isn't sufficient capacity, that 10-inch line for having both these wells running without using a whole bunch of energy. So the thought is running another line this way and tie into the large diameter line to leave that head and you can get the production up this way. Another thought is maybe where it meets Highway 1 in this area, putting a well down here, maybe negotiating with the Woodland Project or looking for another well site over here, talking to somebody else. Those are potential well sites that the district could be looking at for this additional well as well as important.
Right now, it's basically two offers that we can consider the most.
Yeah, well, we have an offer here, and then there's a tentative offer in this area here for a well site.
Is there anything from Woodland?
Woodland, there's a potential of negotiating something with them. So there's, you know, at least three possibilities out there for additional well sites.
See, the only reason I'm looking at Woodland is this is one thing that's in the back of my mind. To do all this improvements when we need money, money's going to come from one or two sources. I don't know. I may be wrong. So if I'm wrong, tell me.
Well, the financial plan, along with the rate study, will outline the financial program that this needs.
But I don't want to raise people's water rates if I don't have to. In other words, right now I'm not on the water system, so it doesn't affect me one way or the other. But I know all those people that are sitting out there that are on the water system. They don't want to see their rates go up astronomically. So you have either one or two things. You're either going to put all this stuff in, either you're going to raise people's rates up pretty high, or you're going to get some development money.
Or a combination.
And if you could get development money out of Woodlands and make them part of the system and make the overall rate for everybody in the whole, all of Nipomo a better deal, then I would be for that.
Well, that's what we're waiting on.
Because they're going to go ahead and do what they want to do anyhow. They better, because our wells are outside, that's outside the district anyhow.
Well, that doesn't make a difference.
Huh?
I mean, many water agencies pump water, look, this one has been pumping water outside their boundary for, since they didn't pump water before.
I'm just looking at the, in other words, what I'm trying to say is a financial thing. I'd like to see what's best for the ratepayers.
Right.
And
that's
if,
why
if taking those people in is best for the ratepayers, then I would be for taking them in. If it isn't, then I wouldn't be. But I know those people out there don't want us to raise their water rates. And I don't want to do it if I don't have to.
But that's why the board went ahead and required the service to turn on. And he's come up again some interesting ideas on how to finance programs and stuff like that. But anyway, so just for production. The Boyle report wasn't, it is not as conservative as, you know, the state kind of looked at your major production well goes down and you back to that. The Boyle report was, I should say, even more conservative than the second best well. They seen the Viacanto well goes down, what type of backup system that the district has. Basically, it's going to need a well from producing someplace around 500 to 600 gallons per minute.
Getting to Bob's point for just a minute, the homeowner is the guy that really pays for this. Anytime that you see a developer come in, Imperial Bank or Charlie Pratt or any of the people out there, what they do, they buy the service from you, they pay those fees, and then they attach a 25% cost factor to those fees, and they add them to the total cost, and that then goes to the homeowner. He pays for it. He then pays for it additionally when they start pumping the water, because now he's got a water bill, and his water bill is probably not going to stay the same for the next 5 or 6 years.
So
he's going to pay again. So he pays and pays and pays.
Right.
So any money you can get out of the developer, you have to get as money that is grant money, not cost money for a special factor. If it's grant money, he cannot pass it on. If it's cost factor money, he can and does pass it on.
Well, I don't know of any developer that pays for connection fees and system fees or impact fees that does not pass that fee or cost along to the property.
Oh, they're not in existence.
True. That's a big chunk of money that's going to come into the district. Anyway. I mean,
well,
you put on 100 houses at $3,000 a piece, that's $300,000. That's $300,000 you didn't have before. That's $300,000 the ratepayers don't have to pick up. Because the new guy, he's going to go along, he's going to come on at whatever rate there is. I mean, regardless of what he pays in.
Yeah, the impact fees, and here again, Perry Locke is addressing them, is a buy-in to the system,
right.
Pay their portion share into the system.
Right.
Okay. And then you have the O&M fees, which basically is your monthly bill. And most of your capitalization should be associated with the impact fees.
Yeah.
And I think that's his philosophy, how he's coming in. And he indicated that based on, you know, assuming a certain growth aspect and a certain impact fees, our sewer rates may be too high. Sewer impact fees may be too high, $3,500. He's looking at that and says, you know, it's possible that this can lower that.
What's the first question?
Well, that's the first thing I told him. I said, you do that, then you think you're encouraging growth. You know, but he comes out with the point, says you can't overcharge. You have to come up with a realistic fee. And in fact, down where they are, they went through and they refinanced $35 million worth of bonds because of interest rates and saved the district $5 million. Turn around and lower their impact fees on throughput because of the savings they created. You know, and he said a couple of years ago that they had such a great growth rate down there. They are installing 1,000 meters a month.
What is that?
Rancho.
Number 9.
Yeah. And because they had this system in place at the time, financially, you know, what do you think? He had $70 million in the bank.
That's one of the fastest growing areas in the state, though.
Yeah. And it's a benefit to the district because the interest and everything they generate off that thing after a reserve for replacement and everything else, it keeps their rates down. And that's a hard concept for people around the state.
Yeah. Well, you can say that's part of the district's rate where they are now.
Well, true. Of course, you can make better off soon. You know, in the past, the district was using some impact fees. You know, the object is getting to the situation, and it should have been taught me at higher in the real world, and it's very unique, I think, in ideas you come up with. And
if you're saying unique, that scares me. Because you're pretty unique. And if it's unique to you,
innovative.
Then we're in trouble.
I mean, he has a real interesting idea that's funny.
Okay.
And
and this guy's from planet what?
Hey, if it's better for the district to keep the rates down,
that's what you want. Whatever,
by using technology, et cetera. I mean, just the other day, we've been having a debate and on phone line services and everything else, and I've been getting a lot of static from staff. And, well, you can't do that for all your remaining customers. Okay. And a salesman is, I pick people's brains, and I found out that MWD is starting off with phone reads using cellular phones.
Yeah.
I mean, simple. Retrofit, you don't have to retrofit. Just put a cellular phone in the box and drop it right. So these are all concepts of stuff.
Has Perry given you any preliminary information regarding his feeling on cops financing funding?
He will have an interesting plan of finance.
Something we could use for this $500,000 initial outlay that you're talking about for water system.
Yeah, and he may talk.
Okay. Yeah. Got home tonight.
Yeah. He'll come up and say, okay, you've got a finance thing, but over a period of time, with your potential growth and your impact fees, you'll replace those funds. So we're looking at getting the second letter across and securing the east and west side of the downtown area with a backup system. And then probably exploring some place for another well site. So, and here again, based on the board report. So, if the board wishes to, the staff will go ahead and start looking for another well site and come back to the board where everyone may be applicable.
Can't use the main line that Rika uses now because of the lack of volume, huh?
Oh, yeah, you only have the same assignment up here. And the thing too, 800 gallons a minute. And you put another one on here, 800 gallons a minute. That's when you're listening to the tennis line. Yeah. You could do it for 900 cost, though.
You bought talking with some landowners that are along that L there. There you go.
Yeah. It's possibly, you know, looking there.
Looking at the Dana well.
Well, see, you get up in this area here and you need to do a production check for it. And then the Cal Cities, which is on the bluff here, I think they have great production. But I think the biggest well they have out there only includes 350 gallons a minute. And they have water quality problems with that. So,
Doug, how do you go about targeting a property that's not taxed, so that you don't have to end up trading water for a well site that services 20, 30, 15 hours.
Well, you mean trading a well site for service?
Yeah. That's usually how it's approached. Mm-hmm. How do you target an area that just won't put such a demand on the system?
Well, you know, 10 or 15 services is not a major demand, but if you get a 40, 50,
40
subdivision, something else, you could go ahead and just offer cash for the well site that serves. Yeah. Condemn it. Because you're looking at, you know, putting this line in here, maybe $150,000, you could probably maybe buy a well site here for investment. I don't know. But, you know, we get the legal aspect of condemnation here. It's much better to, you know, have at hand both people agree to.
I'm just thinking that rather than get involved in a big project, either a smaller parcel.
Well, I think, you know, the deal concept, well, we had, was it 8 months? 8 services. The judging well, I think, was about 8 or 12 years. 6 services. Yeah, Hermit and 20 services for the tank site. This one out here is substantial because you have, basically, this is what you're talking about. It's a major development out here. Here is maybe, you know, say, this is 1 acre parcel. You have a 15 acre parcel out there, 15 lots, which is not substantial. But here you have probably 40 lots here and another 20 there, so you get 60 lots up there. That's basically what you're calling
them. I would think you'd make an effort to stay away from the three.
Yeah.
I guess the ones with the small projects aren't approaching us at this time, but I mean, we can start a dialogue with them at least just to see what kind of options are out there. It may be they're never interested, but in some way.
And then with the wastewater system, as Jim Gehring explained before, what we're planning to do is increase the from the metering box, increase the pipeline to the splitter box here, and then install two grinders and two lift stations. We will not be upgrading the pump station this time since the equipment has sufficient capacity, and thus we'll let the flow come up so when new pumps are installed, they can pump water instead of just pumping for a minute or two and shut them down. It's more economical having them running longer. And so this portion will probably be in the first phase, and also in, you know, in John Dent's report, he indicates the third phase of installing aeration or opening up the third pond. But talking to Jim Gehring, it's probably better to go improving the first phase and the third phase, which would be putting the third pond online and putting aeration, different types of aeration systems in. Probably a more economical system, bottom aeration, maybe less horsepower, better treatment. Right now we have a sludge buildup on the pond, which has reduced our treatment capacity. And the experience we've had out of Black Lake with the bottom aeration, since they've been running, we've had very little or no sludge buildup. And so we're looking at that concept. So what we're probably looking at is putting the headworks and getting some good meter reading so we know what our exact flows are, since right now it backs up into it and we don't have accurate meter reading, and putting the ponds online and then maybe expanding out some of the percolation areas.
Yeah, those three that are up there can be built, right?
Yeah, these two are presently on the line. We put a third pond on the line. And then there's these ponds are two here. We join them one and one. And depending on the configuration, what we end up here in the acquisition of property, these ponds may vary.
Okay, but probably the addition of the top three ponds there, in addition to what we have now, is almost would double our capacity.
Yes, right now it's about 0.3 or 0.4, and this would carry up to about 0.6.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next stage would go to 0.9, almost
immediately. Right. That's if you bring on those other five, which involve an additional
This
land
is
acquisition.
This is disposal. Okay.
Okay.
State water project realignment and all that, is that going to affect that?
The state water pipeline comes right down through here.
Oh, but I mean, that expansion's not going to be affected by what goes on in the state water pipeline?
We'll be operating over the top.
I mean, do we have to wait till the pipeline's in before we can start that?
The pipeline will probably be in next month. And we probably won't start until next fiscal year. So there shouldn't be any conflict of construction.
Good. Well, it seems like that's the right plan. The phase one, those two 12-inch lines and double grinders.
Definitely.
That gets us far away.
So with respect to the water and sewer system, those are what we proposed, and we'll proceed with kind of the potential well site from our side to supplement the present system.
Do you have any feel for what other large wells are in that area? Whether they be FOMO, maybe they're mutual water company wells?
Those Lunar Negra, there's a mutual water company up here, a couple, and there's I don't know if it's called Woodland or another one down in here, one or two down in by the junkyard. There's a fair amount of aggies across this area. There's a lemon orchard over there. Kiwis.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Mendoza brought up the subject of acquiring a parcel of land for where there's a good water source. You know, I think it'd be a good idea that since land is still affordable to get minimum 5 acres. The city here is going to be down the road probably maybe some years from now. And the city always needs storage. all that. Well, you have a well, plus you have to go towards the water, so you have to go to the water. Because land's going to keep going up. Once people are coming forward, you watch to see what's going to happen, I see it. Because the land property was expensive, it's down in Valley County, right? So I think now it's still affordable, and I think if you choose to put a district to buy a 5-acre parcel, then lease it from some guy, and if he knows he has a good water source, and then pay him a monthly lease, it's like throwing money away instead of making your own investment right there. Right? What do you think of that?
Well, that brings interest.
You save quite a bit of money that way. Plus, you have a good investment.
We've thought
about
that.
Taxpayers will benefit by it. The citizens will benefit by it. And you wouldn't have to pay out the monthly lease, right? But to utilize it well.
So it's been one of my feelings is that we could always, I didn't fully buy the logic about taking in a big project to get the well site. And we can perfectly love up and buy a piece of land and grow whatever we want.
That's important.
Certainly. That's always an option.
It's not just going to be a well, it's going to be a storage facility for the city and everything. You have to think ahead, right? You know, I think that would be way of a better investment than using it for purpose of getting water out, right?
Sound like you had something to...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a gentleman out there who wants to trade water for a well site. I need to talk to him, come back to the board, but I didn't prompt them in the aspect of acquiring land when the next item is exchange water for land.
No, I'm saying, why should you pay the guy at least when our citizenry own the land, we put money in our own pocket, right? It goes in the kitty for, God knows, for youth services or something else, right?
Is there any
fire putting protection, right?
There's a 15-acre parcel out there that was a trade of water. For Colossa Water Service. It's right in this area.
So he wants one water service.
He has 15 acres out there, which I assume is similar to, I think, this project here where it's zoned for 1-acre parcel. And so it would be 15 services.
I know if you're kind of out here on the west side, have you considered putting wells where you're recharging the basin, say, south of the first treatment facility?
The water quality there is poor. You have to treat it.
Are you talking about treated water?
Treated after it goes to
the water. Well, the residents out there that I've talked to have a hard time with hydrogen sulfide problem. So there must be some hydrocarbons in the area. There's one over there.
That's water also tastes like rotten eggs, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's also closer to an area where we might be losing water in that area. Like an area where you try to
I was going to build another sewer plant.
So anyway, we'll go ahead and explore this 115-acre parcel, maybe talk to this guy and look for possible areas over there. And then the Moore property, Mr. Moore has gone into bankruptcy receivership, and we've been contacted by the bank saying they would wish to proceed with the previous agreement.
Where it was.
Trading the well site for service, which I think the district has made a previous commitment. Yeah, that was before I got here. That's when that you know.
How many services has he got?
Don't tell me the writer's name.
Right before you ask.
Yeah, there's a 40-acre, 40 lot subdivision here, and this is a 2.5-acre lot, so I did 15 years.
Does that go with the land, that agreement?
I'd have to go. There was an agreement made for services to serve that property.
Those were those intended to serve the well back that came back and wanted more lots.
Was that one of those three?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
so we're kind of committed on that because we already gave two of them, so we're in the bag for the third.
For all three of them.
All three of the boats.
So can we put a well site in there? Or?
Yes.
That's a good place, isn't it?
That's one of the conditions.
That's also one where we can't utilize the current line, or you can just turn the big line out.
Well, see, that's the thing. We've got to look at the whole picture. Economics come into that and production.
If we keep picking wells all in the same area, we're kind of speeding them further.
Well, the object is, well, there's a lot of wells out here, but, you know, here's about half a mile away, over here, contains what's in the, I think, Woodland has put a well in here, and one over here, and they kind of put four wells in their area. There's probably less wells in rural areas, there's more wells up in this area.
What kind of room do you need for a well, in total?
Well, the Aconte is
25 by 50.
This way?
25 feet by 50 feet.
Oh, I may be able to make a deal with you. I've got a nice lot out in Black Lake.
I might point out that there's some noise issues with the pumps. I mean, it's kind of really a floating figure that when you say how much room you need to put a site in there is one thing, but how much room you really need in order to address whatever environmental issues that may be associated with it can really expand that circle out a little bit.
Right. And you prefer 100 foot by 100 foot. And also, you know, there, as suggested by, well, it go with a gas engine for a backup case the power goes down.
Well, before you make a deal, talk to me.
Okay. Put 100 diesel engine right in your backyard.
They call that conflict of interest.
I've had it before.
So anyway, so those are basically the ramifications of the water and sewer prospects we're looking at. If no other questions, we can move on to the next item, which would be
kind of an update there.
Possibly exchanging the 1 acre site next to the district office for.
Are there any more public comments or questions on that before we leave it? Point your well out, John. John's over there. He's kind of steering us towards Santa Maria, so I got a good idea where his well is at.
Oh, you're over here someplace.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't think we have a hydrogen sulfide problem, so.
That's good. But the clients wouldn't know it, or would they?
I'd have to send more lab tests down there on my list.
Well, yeah, the
Cal
one.
City's
the
had,
one
so.
Yeah, the Cal City's right behind the mobile home park, their first well. They've had to use cascades to get rid of the hydrogen sulfide.
But that's like, that's for.
Right.
That's
right.
You don't drink yourself, do you?
That area out there between our plant and the speedway and stuff has had water quality problems. Always have.
Okay. Okay. So that sufficiently wraps up item number three, which we took out of order, John. We did the public comments in item number three. We're going to go back up to item number two, the exchange of property.
Yeah, Mr. President, in the past, the board has inquired about exchanging property, and it was dropped in the last board meeting. They requested to reinvestigate the phosphate. District contacted county staff, and they have the same terms of trading water for property. They wished some kind of intent be put together, either resolution or memorandum of understanding which staff had put together to show the real intent of the district if they wish to proceed in this manner. So staff took on the effort and did that. We've come up with a eyeball cost of about $85,000 for the property. There is a plot map, assessor parcel map in your packet showing the location of the county property, which is a 1 acre parcel between Seth Street and Dana Street, running on the old Holst Road right away, and then the district 1/3 or 2/3 of an acre at the corner of Wilson and Dana Street. The two properties are joined in the mid-block there on Dana Street. And so if the district wanted to trade that 1 acre lot for water services to the regional park, we could proceed on that matter as the intent memorandum of understanding. The county is presently using someplace on an average of 14 months, about $22,000 a year. I know the board was concerned about cash flow, and here again, in just conversation with Perry Locke, he said, well, the way to do that, since it's a capital expenditure.
Non-operating
capital expenditure, but if you do, you take that out of your impact fees and make a transfer of $22,000 a year into the operation fund so that you wouldn't lose that O&M. Because it isn't actually expensive.
Katie, ruling?
Well, I'm just laughing because it's been that
long as I've been on this board, that has never really been a concern of which fund it came out of.
Well,
I realize it should be, but I can't recall.
It's been a lot better. A lot better.
What Doug's referring to, too, is when Terry makes his presentation, he's going to be presenting the operating versus the non-operating budget. We're going to be keeping them two separate, the operating budget being our water bill paying for our expenditures, and then our non-operating is the budget.
All the money in the bank. I mean, all that money in the bank should be. That's all from development. Everything sitting there, O&M is gone. I mean, that's in and out, and use some of it. And that's So I mean.
But we're trying to do it and have the operation start filling up a reserve for depreciation.
I know. You're trying to do right.
But the question was brought last time about, and that's the means of handling that matter, of not losing that 22,000 over component.
Right. Okay, now I brought up a point last time about the old building, where it's currently sitting. Do you have any kind of a feel for the time frame from which, say, we build our new building on the newly acquired lot? I'm talking. Hypothetically. And then the old lot with the old building on it, how many years do you think down the road does the county want to use that lot as part of their community center? Because, the general plan shows this area as being like a potential community center. Maybe there was talk about a library at one point. We know where that's going now. But and then the NCSD building, and then if we ever incorporate, that would be a little government center. How much time does that old building sit there if we build our building on the new lot?
It's up the board. You could demolish the whole thing tomorrow, or you can tear down the big portion, either front portion on,
No, I mean, will the county come knocking on our door saying, hey, you got to demolish this thing next year because we're building this? They haven't given us any...
I would just think that if the governmental center does develop into what it is, there will be a need for storage, and you will possibly have a facility within that immediate area that could provide the storage. Usually when you have a library and you have other governmental agencies, you start also need to have the capacity to store different items that go along with it. And the building may have some value being that close to the governmental center as a storage facility.
The existing building?
Yeah. Because it looks to me, I haven't been in there, so I'm really way on my bailiwick. But it looks to me like it was constructed, at least the back portion, as a storage.
I'd say the greatest advantage of the building right now is to block the air. Trader in the back.
And don't forget, there's a radio tower on too, so it's a good support for a radio tower.
Now, I got just clarification. The lot that the building's on, we own.
That's ours. That's correct.
Now, if we get this additional lot, we're going to own that too.
That's
but we're
correct.
Not giving the lot we own to the county in exchange, right?
That's correct.
So we own, then we'll own two lots.
That's correct.
So if they build a government center, they're not going to still move their government center on any part of our two lots, are they?
They wouldn't build a government center and live without the district commission.
Right.
They'd have to deal with this.
Okay.
They have...
I mean, we'd sell more of an acronym.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
We could put restrictions on it.
I love it. That's what we're
on your... This is a district property. This is the one that would be
trading. That's what I thought.
Okay, and this is Test Street. Okay.
True.
The county owns the like piece on the north side of Test Street.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. So there's an acre here and an acre there.
Okay.
They probably go across the street rather than deal with us because they know we harbor too much said to them.
But the, okay. I'd like to see us go forward on this and build our new building on Test Street. I like the idea that we're facing out on Test Street. That's the main street. People come downtown, we're going to be there. You tell people,
Where's the water company? It's on Test Street. They know what Test Street is. You tell them on Dana Street, they ride around for a half an hour looking for it. No, seriously. I've had friends that they'd say, where's the meeting? I'll tell them, come to the meeting. They'll call me back and say, couldn't find a damn thing.
That's okay as long as it doesn't cost us a lot.
Well,
that's okay, because image is one thing, but we're not a high-flow area. We're just kind of...
True, but $88,000 for an acre.
We're not Walmart.
Downtown.
Yeah.
It's a good deal, especially when we're paying giving them $88,000 for the water. It isn't going to cost us $88,000. That's to me a killer deal.
Yeah, that's the $85,000,
whatever.
Who was the representative?
The
county representative. Was it Purdy or
Mr. Soar? Kurt Soar. And he's leaving on February 5th, and if the board wishes to proceed on something like that, take a pass resolution, I'll get it up to them. Latter part of this week. In fact, I have to get there tomorrow. And he said he would process it, and it'd probably go to the county board of supervisors probably the latter part of next month.
How was that value of that land determined? Is there an estimate?
I offered $80,000. He wouldn't go with it. He wanted 90 or 100, and I said, can we settle on 85?
What about an appraisal? Anyone heard of an appraisal? What would something like that appraise?
Let me just point out something about what we have right here. What we have is a memorandum of understanding. It's not a binding agreement, but it is a handshake between governmental agencies that these are the deal points that we've agreed to. You know, eventually the agreement, of course, is going to be much longer than a half page. So, what this does is gives each side a good faith understanding of what the deal is, so they'll move forward on it. Rather, you know, and that's the purpose of a memorandum of understanding. It's more or less an agreement to agree.
In coming up with the value, I point out there's two easements down the side. There's a gas easement and a sewer line easement, and then we have the lift station at the corner, 50-foot square. And so I pointed out all these things with respect to the value.
Okay.
He said nothing less than 85.
That memorandum of understanding, does that finite in terms of the agreement of the price, etc.?
That's the purpose of it.
That's the purpose of it.
Right. But is it binding on based on this right here?
Uh-huh.
It would be, you know, a speculative answer, but I would think that it could be binding if one person wanted to push it all the way through a court system, but
basically we don't pass unless we plan on calling through.
Right, exactly, and that's the whole idea with the county. It's, you know, staff didn't. We don't have time to between Mr. Sorg's plans and our plans to sit down and come up with a long agreement, but what the county often wants in these types of situations is a memorandum of understanding so that they know that the board stands behind this agreement in principle.
Okay.
And when they will take it before, they're the board of supervisors, and we'll get their view if they stand behind this deal in principle. And then there's, you know, the you often say the devil's in the details, but we have to wait and see on that, you know, whether or not we can come to an agreement, but this is certainly, you know, a major step forward.
Yeah, and it's been through the board already and the local supervisor, so they're fully aware of it. This is coming through. I think it should move forward.
I think it's a very good deal, and I agree with Bob that you can't buy property like that for that kind of a price. I don't know what it would appraise at, but I would suspect
more than $85,000.
I need to point out that we have a lift station easement of 50 by 50, and then there's a 10 and then I think a 15 foot easement, so another 25 easements down the side of the property.
Yeah, we've
so you're not getting a full 1 acre with easements, and that's why we negotiated on the price. So I still think it's a good
place. That easement has to be accessible?
It's just a sewer easement and a gas line easement, so you can operate over the top of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make a hockey course out of it.
Yeah.
Is there any traveling implied or hard agreement between the county and Mr. Miller on that property regarding expanding his parking lot or that park?
He somewhat volunteered, which if the district requires that we've been contacting him to develop it, if he would just to contribute to parking space or develop a little park on it from his capital, that would be a no-negotiable item. But as I understand it, that he was in the past agreeable to
he was agreeable to what?
Contributing to additional parking places and putting maybe a little landscaping, et cetera, at this time.
Well, he wants the parking spaces for his business
fair. Right.
I would think.
It's not a big deal. He wants.
I would think if we're going to have that as an entryway into the office that it would be at the end of the parking lot.
No, I mean, however the site plan is, it's there's a thought of not setting the building right on Tep Street, but setting it back a ways and have a landscape area out in front.
See, we're doing a favor, too, in a certain sense, because they want the business to downtown to develop. Well, if we put this building out there, that's going to help. I mean, that's just...
Normally, in a city, your civic center is a focal point to a downtown area.
Right. And that's going to help. Maybe something else will come in beside it, and pretty soon we'll get something down here that will make some sort of a draw. I think it's just all the way around.
And also, you know, when you take a look at the price, you have to, as this board well knows, it's going to be zoned public use. So it's difficult to sit back and compare commercial use on the zoning issues, you know, when you come up with what the value of the property is.
And there may be a chance of saying that this property will be used for public use only, so it just can't sell off as an speculator.
Well, that's the thing, Ted. I mean, like I said before, anything with any business is location, location, location. That's a better location than that.
I make a motion that we go forward with it. How's that sound?
Can you gentlemen have a question?
Yes.
Does it make it eminent domain?
You can't do that with a co-identity.
Because we can't do it with a public entity, for one thing. It's a county. Eminent
domain, just grab it, say, this is city though, right?
It's not quite that simple.
Well, maybe it's too radical what I thought of. Yeah.
It's more complex than
the CCWA.
Well, there has to be a real demand for it that particular people ask before you can do it.
Well, the general rule is, I really don't want to belabor this because we're getting off the point, when a public agency condemns against another public agency, they have to prove a higher and better use. And a need to have it. Now, you can take a look and figure out how far you get with a need to relocate a public building like this and whether or not the county is a better use. So, you know, it's just not as easy as saying go out there and grab it and condemn it. There's a lot of issues that go along with it.
Any other public comments or questions?
I got my water mouth this evening, I guess. Yeah, I'm getting back to the water situation. How about this regional park here? I mean, that's pretty far away from Black Lake, isn't it? That's part of the thing right here. Isn't there a good water source right there where you could drill a well and get sufficient water to take care of the whole thing that you guys are short of?
You mean the park or this location?
Regional park over here, right next to Dana.
If it was, the county would drill well already because they tried the inner water.
Sure, they were.
No, that's why they hooked up to our system.
But it's funny, you know, if you drive on the 101 freeway, you look at the Iowa Grande Cemetery, they got a well sitting right next to the grave right there. You notice that? With a pipe about this, you know, I said, man, I don't want to drink that water right next to the cemetery. Isn't that weird? You know?
No, I don't think that's been traditionally a very water-rich area.
So there's no water in that regional park right there.
No, they have our water. They use our water. That's what we're talking about, negotiating some water.
That's
the cost for a piece of land. Al, got any feelings on it? Or Alex? Or
I think it's a good program, and I agree. I think we should make a move on it.
One thing, as long as we don't have to live in a park right there on the street, kids throwing a frisbee over our parking lot. I mean, well, the donation of the park before was like he was going to plant the grass and put a fence there and stuff, and we were going to maintain and provide all the water for it.
Yeah, I mean, all this will come before the board for approval.
This is not on our acreage.
Whether that will be resurrected or not.
He was talking about putting that little park in there and an additional parking space going over the county's land. Now when it becomes our land, he's going to have to talk to us about it.
I suspect if it becomes part of our land, if Mr. Miller is interested, he probably comes out.
What part of that don't you understand?
Well, hey, he's talked to the county. The county hasn't implied any kind of a promise to him.
When the title changes, that's...
It's solely our deal.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Okay. That's all I want. I want to make sure there was no pretense.
As far as I know, I don't know of any agreement.
Previous agreement, because Ruth indicated the Army was at least a verbal agreement with Mr. Miller.
There are discussions about that, too.
Okay, but we don't inherit that. Mm-hmm.
Not that I know of.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's crystal clear. We may very well want to talk to him, but we might not want to.
Well, I thought we were quite clear when he came before the board before, is that he went and got out and found petitions or signatures in order to finance the park, that we would more than be more than happy to do it. We had to get the signatures, get the vote for it.
For maintenance, for raising the water, planning, for paying the water costs and all that. Exactly. But since then, he's had negotiations with the county.
I haven't seen the zoning, but my guess is, knowing how the county operates in the past, that it's zoned public use.
So that puts in the position of having to use that property for district office.
Or some other public use. You can put a swimming pool there, another library, a storage shed, whatever the board of the district wishes to do with it. I mean, you can acquire the property and not put the office there. You can put it across the street.
Put a maintenance shed out there if you want. They might not like that.
The comments I'm hearing is that it would be most appropriate to have the building, office, whatever, running on tap.
And speculation, since commercial area is running Test Street, has the building set back, so they've made the. The district, and here again speculation, build office building there owned by the public and leased out to private enterprise until the public enterprise expands out to their use. That's the revenue base.
Well, if we build it bigger than we need.
Well, I mean, that's what they speculation.
Okay.
No.
We can always add on with a breezeway.
As long as you plan it right, yeah. Back to my motion.
So I say we start with something, what we need, 3,500 square feet, two bathrooms, and go from there.
You need two bathrooms. Oh, where are we in the unisex
bathroom? Two bathrooms and a unisex bathroom.
Well, with a counter, maybe, so you don't have to set a person back to the toilet or something. Okay.
But, everything will come to the board for approval. So the last word.
Okay, we're not approving anything unless there's a county talking about it. Any further public comments? Okay, let's rev it up.
Okay. Make a motion that we go forward on this with the county to secure this acre of property on Test Street for the exchange of water to the park for 4 years, whatever it is, for the cost of, 85,000.
There you go.
I second that motion.
Be quick,
Kate. I gotta give it to Al. She was waiting. Okay, I have a motion by Director Blair and a second by Director Simon. Do we need to take, well, we've got an agreement here.
Yeah, we prefer a roll call vote.
Let's do a roll call vote. Okay, roll call vote.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. If everyone could sign it, or at least the president and okay. the council, I can take it up there tomorrow.
We can do that before we leave.
We can do that.
We can do that.
All right. Okay, we have care of the exchange of property public comment study session. Let's put item number four, director's comments. Anything further about the directors? Item number five is public comments. Any further public comments?
May I just add that the I've been invited by the Chamber of Commerce to speak on January 31st at their luncheon meeting on the groundwater management agency. Groundwater of the district is proposed.
Right.
And also I've been contacted by the county engineering department, the Susan... and she is putting on the agenda for the County Water Advisory Committee meeting to review the draft of the water master or the groundwater management plan.
Okay.
Is
that
with
date?
The 7th of February at, I think, 1 or 1:30. Same place as last time.
Yeah, that's the meeting we go to.
Right.
Yeah.
But the contact, just to clear it up, they contacted me. I didn't contact.
Is there any need for a closed session?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I go into closed session, I'd like to report to the board that in order to include a closed session on this agenda, the board would have to make certain findings, and I'm about to give you a staff report in support of two findings. One, that a need to take action arose since we posted this meeting, and two, that the action needs to be taken prior to the next board meeting. And on that basis, I report to the board that we have been negotiating with the state regarding the easement, their easement acquisition as it goes across the wastewater treatment plant. I'll also report to the board that on February 2nd, DWR will be holding a hearing in order to continue their pursuit of condemnation, and that is prior to the next board meeting. And if we will go over what staff would like to have the authority to resolve this issue and report back to DWR, and thus avoid further litigation, have it resolved prior to the next step, which is the hearing on the condemnation of the DWR on February 2nd. On that, I think there's ample support for the board by motion to make a finding that there is a need to place this matter on the agenda, and that would be pursuant to, get my glasses out here, Government Code Section
56.
Is that what it is? 54956.9 to discuss existing litigation between the state of California and the Pomo Community Service District. And that would have to be passed by a two-thirds vote.
Okay, so if we have five members here,
I'm reading the statute.
We need four board members in to vote in the affirmative, but I need a motion that based on the size of the board, we add this item as a closed session. Okay, a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Mendoza. Let's have a roll call on this. We can establish the 4/5.
You
can if you want.
Yes.
Okay, all directors vote yes. That means we're going to add this item and we're going to have a short discussion and closed session about potential litigation.